the Nativity story, it always strikes me how busy it is, how disrupted it is for Mary and Joseph, for shepherds on a hillside, for wise sages staring at the night skies, studying the stars in their courses. For all of them, their lives are disrupted. And for all of them, they end up making a journey. For Mary and Joseph, it's the announcement that they're due to have a baby, a miracle child, a special child. God is going to do something through them and through their care. But if that was not enough disruption on its own, the government has decided that they need to take a census to make sure they have enough people in the right places to make enough money from their taxes. And so Mary and Joseph have to travel from the north of the country to close to the south of the country. And all this with Mary being pregnant. It's no mean feat. And of course, the trouble is, but because of this census, everybody's having to travel. And when they arrive in Bethlehem, there aren't enough rooms for everybody. And they're so desperate that they take the shelter of a stable. If there's a definition of disruption and the stress of a journey, then surely this is it. For the shepherds, the disruption's different. And their journey is much shorter. They only have a short wander into town, effectively. Their disruption comes with the shock of being confronted in the early hours of the morning. But, you know, that low time, the lowest ebb when, you know, I just really don't want to be woken up. And suddenly the skies are flaming with light. And there's angelic messengers everywhere they look, singing glory to God in the highest. And you can say what you like. The angel could say to them, don't be afraid. But as I read the biblical description of angels, angels are scary beings. They're not the baby-faced winged cherubs we see on the top of the Sistine Chapel. They are seriously scary. And so when the sky is filled with these, it's no wonder their reaction is to try and find somewhere to hide. For the shepherds, their routine of sleeping and watching and sleeping, keeping each other company through the night, making sure their flocks are kept safe, is disrupted in a way that they can never forget. For wise men, the disruption's different again. In their case, it's much more subtle. They're studying their craft. They're watching the night skies. They're working out what's happening next, and they work out that something serious is happening. A new king is being born, one called King of the Jews. And so they set out on a journey. And they would make the longest journey of all the Nativity characters. Seeing the arrival of a new star in the heavens mean they have to pack up their camels and travel across hundreds and hundreds of miles. And this is no quick run up the local motorway to Bethlehem. This is hundreds of miles across inhospitable territory, full of bandits, full of deserts, full of wild animals. This is not an easy journey. And they do this because they have seen all the indications of a newborn king, a new king of the Jews. They know there's something here, and they're willing to allow their lives to be disrupted because something special is happening. Now, over the past few weeks, we've been following, as a church here, we've been following an Advent theme, a time of waiting and anticipation for the Lord to come. And I know for some folk, that's incredibly frustrating because I know they want to leap into Christmas straight away. They don't want to follow the journey of Advent. that expectation. But as I keep reminding folk, that waiting is important. Because it's as we go through this period of Advent, as we go through this journey of waiting and being prepared and preparing for the coming of the Lord, it is as we go through that, we learn the expectation and the anticipation that a journey brings with it. And we begin to prepare. We begin to prepare for the Lord to come. Not necessarily in the ultimate sense, riding on the clouds of heaven, although that may be the case. One day we may be surprised, will be surprised, as the Lord comes to us in all his glory. But God comes to us in other ways. God comes to us sometimes silently to take us to be with himself. And for those who are left behind, we mourn because we consider it a loss. But for God, and for the person he has come for, it is the fulfillment of a journey. Sometimes he comes to us in other ways, more subtle ways. He comes to us in the trials that we face, the troubles and the tribulations of life. God comes to us as we journey through the difficulties of life, and he brings alongside us individuals and groups of people who carry us, who support us and encourage us on the journey of life. Help us to weather the storms, however bad and however difficult the disruption becomes. God comes to us in subtle ways. The trouble is that while we're waiting and while we're preparing and while we're trying to work out how we manage and navigate our way through difficult times, while we might hope and hope against hope that the Lord will come and actually come in a big bang moment, more often than not, he comes quietly, comes inconceivably, and yet still meets us in that disruption of life. Truth is, when the Lord comes to us, he's as likely to bring disruption as he is the calm serenity to our lives. Because as God comes to us in Jesus, he examines us. He asks questions of us. He asks something about the rules by which we guide our lives. He questions our values, and he asks us to see them be disruptive. When God comes, he wants our roots to be shaken so that we might live differently. Might live in a way that brings honor to him. That disruption works its way out in all sorts of different ways. Sometimes it means living differently in the context within which we find ourselves. It means living a transformed life, or a being transformed life, amongst the people with whom we live and work and spend each day. For others, that disruption means we have to go elsewhere. That calling is to go to another place, to bear witness to what God is doing. For some of us, that disruption will mean going to other places, even overseas, so that God's work and word might bring disruption elsewhere and set others on a journey of discovery, finding faith for themselves. One of the great privileges I've had in my ministry is over the past 20 years, I've lived in some very interesting places. And it worries me and it bothers me when I speak to other ministers and they say, well, you know, we're only called to a specific place. Don't want to see God calling me elsewhere. I don't want the disruption that that will cause to my friends and my family. You know, I sometimes wonder whether we're missing out if we don't allow God to just disrupt us a little and to set us on a journey into a deeper place in faith. Because when I read the Nativity story, it always strikes me how each of these characters finds their lives disrupted by God. Each of these characters are set out on a journey that will bring them into a new and deeper encounter with God. And it leaves me wondering, if we're genuinely wanting the Lord to come, if we're genuinely wanting that celebration of Christmas, God with us, if we generally cry out in the situation we find ourselves and we want God to come, we need to be ready for some disruption to come with it. There's an old cliche that says, if you want to make an omelette, you have to break some eggs. It strikes me that on too many occasions, we would rather go hungry than see the disruption of the breaking of the eggs that God would do in our lives. Strikes me there are times we would rather endure the situations we find ourselves in because actually we're comfortable with them and we don't like the idea of the disruption that God brings and we fear the journey that he would set us on. But I wonder if being unwilling to face a disruption, we're missing out on something. For in each case in the Nativity story, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, they all, in their different ways, receive a blessing from God. The disruption is actually worthwhile. The journey is actually worthwhile. Whether that is a short walk into the local town, whether that is moving from the top of the country down to the bottom, near the bottom of the country, whether that is traveling hundreds or even thousands of miles across rugged terrain. For each of the Nativity characters, responding to the disruption of the Lord and setting out on the journey is worth the effort. And so, with Christmas approaching, with the end of Advent here, with the end of waiting almost upon us, as we long to see the Lord come, I wonder if we're ready for the disruption that coming of the Lord will bring with it. I wonder if we're willing to set out on that journey that will deepen us in our faith and take us to new places and places that we never believed we had the capability of going and doing things that we never dreamed we would do. All because the Lord calls us and takes us on that journey of disruption, deeper and deeper into a place with him. A journey that will stretch our faith far and wide and take us to places we never dreamed we'd go. I wonder, as the waiting is almost over, as we're almost at the point of celebrating Christ having come to us, I wonder whether we're ready for the disruption that that means. And I wonder if we have the courage to say, yes, Lord, take me on that journey. I wonder. Amen.